Corner piece. I love you.
Yo, BJ Gajor with the Get Some Gains podcast, and this is 16 Q1 meditations. Just going to try to wrap up this past quarter of 2022. The first quarter, the most important quarter, right? It sets the tone for the entire year. And I know personally, the big focus for us this year was trying to course correct our business. We had a really off year for the business in 2021 after having, you know, what was at the time our best year to date in 2020. A lot of that was, you know, kind of feeling like that fight or flight stimulus from the pandemic starting and trying to control what we could and just going all out into the business side of things. And then we kind of burnt out in 2021, as did you and our audience seemed to burn out as well. This is a common thing that happened. So, you know, whether it was not wanting to train at home because home became everything for you or just a total lack of desire to do anything, I get it. I mean, it was a very challenging couple of years mentally. One thing I'll touch on briefly before I get into these 16 lessons, kind of, I want to make this more about you, but I also realize the importance of talking about this because I just had started the beginning of 2022 for Q1 taking some mental health medication. I've never taken prescription drugs in my life. And one of the reasons I decided to go ahead and do it is because a mentor, a coach, a father of a really close friend of mine growing up reached out to me and revealed he had some real serious mental health problems a couple years back, went on medication for about 18 months, and now he's finally feeling like himself again. And this is a real, like, tough guy, you know, I always thought could solve his own problems and typically could. But when I heard that he had to kind of seek some help and talk to someone and take medication to kind of, you know, rewire his brain, so to speak, that really held a lot of weight with me. So I mentioned it to you because, you know, we just had the 2-year anniversary of this whole global pandemic and everything that has come with it. And if you are still in a situation where you're having a hard time getting out of bed, you feel like you don't want to do anything, and you've just been in a situation of just such prolonged sadness and depression and anxiety, man, it's about time to talk to someone, you know. And it's not easy getting on medication, I'll tell you that. Like the first one I got on it's called Abilify. It's supposed to help with as a mood stabilizer, but what it did for me initially, I couldn't start my day. It kind of makes you kind of a zombie. A lot of brain fog. I feel like it would take a couple hours to get started. So then I had to take something else in addition to that to help offset that side effect. Kind of a stimulant called Wellbutrin. But that has seemed to be kind of the combination that has begun to work a bit. I do kind of feel like I'm becoming myself again. You know, things aren't as daunting to do. You know, like there's just a little momentum I'm starting to build back up. And we had, if not one of our best business quarter in Q1 of this year. And it was not easy because I took on a lot more work. Started taking this medication and kind of adjusting to that. But I just want to share that with you because I'm not saying medication is the answer. I do think talking to someone is a step you need to take if you're still in that rut you can't dig yourself out of. And if I look back at what really put me in this state, you know, we had some deaths in the family. I was kind of going through my own little midlife crisis coming into my 40th year this year, turned 40 in September. But, you know, thinking about a lot of things, my career, all the mistakes I've made, lessons I've learned, things I would have done differently, how I can kind of rebuild and evolve my brand as I'm getting older, and so is my audience. You know, things that used to work don't seem to be as effective with what I do or share. So, man, it's been just a real kind of inflection point. And I don't know how long I'm going to take this medication. As far as it's been kind of spoken to me, it's really just about, I mean, I was so sad for so long that my brain chemistry changed. And part of what this does, kind of like training, you train and over time, the habit kind of sets in and your body starts to change and you kind of adjust to the training. And so it might take a full year or longer for me to go through the course on this medication. Hopefully I can get off of it at some point. Don't like taking prescription drugs. But I do have to say they are helping. And if it helps to hear from someone who I would never have thought I would be someone on medication, you know, to hear that from someone like me, I hope it helps for you at least to consider talking to someone. And if medication is something they recommend, you know, consider it. If it can help you get back to living your life and, you know, try to find more joy, love, and positivity and waking up every day, I hope it helps. So I just want to touch on that briefly. I'm trying to be very careful of what I talk about with this stuff because it's very new to me. And, you know, I'm only about 3 months in with this. It was pretty much a 2-year downward spiral. And once I got into that, I was stuck. So I'm really happy that at least I'm feeling like some momentum is coming through. And, you know, I've got a lot of things I still need to work on to, quote unquote, break through. But I at least feel like for the first time in a long time, I'm getting some positivity or some momentum going in the direction of at least some of the things I've been working on. So I don't know if that helps to hear, but, you know, it is what it is, and it's all part of it. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is this 4-point progress tracking system I kind of came upon in working with one of my online distance coaching clients. Shout out to Andreas. He has kind of been, first of all, he's had a great first quarter. You know, he decided, I want to lose a lot of weight. I want to get in shape for my wedding, but I also want to make this a lifestyle. And I'm okay with it not happening overnight. I want to make this something that I can, you know, build upon slowly, and then I own it at the end of the transformation. So that's what we've been focused on. But now that the pandemic is kind of, we're on the other side of it, hopefully, people are starting to go back into work. And that whole, you know, he'd been working from home for a while. He had a nice little system in place, you know. Finally, we get locked into this at-home schedule, and now they're asking people to come back. So I feel for him. I feel for you if that's the case, because I know it is great to work from home, and it's not. It has its own pros and cons. Make no mistake. Obviously, one of them is some people just can't work out at home if they're doing everything at home. They need a place to go. My wife is that way. She just signed up for a gym membership because she just needs a place to go that isn't home to do it. She can do a little sled outside, but other than that, you know. She knows about herself. She has to go somewhere else to do it. So anyway, what I'm getting at here is it was changing up his schedule to the point where he couldn't do as much on some days of his overall program as he could when he was just exclusively focused on it at home. So what I tried to pass along to him, and I hope to pass along to you, whether you're a Express member or a member of Grillicorn Gains, you know, consider the things that you can do and give each one a point. Walking. Give that a point. Eho, every hour on the hour, doing at least a minute of mobility or movement, getting your body circulating blood, you know, activating the lymphatic system, moving your joints for full range of motion, you know, that gets a point. And you don't have to necessarily do it every hour on the hour, but, you know, hopefully at least 3 to 5 of the hours. Can you do at least immediately upon waking, middle of the day before bed? You can do those 3 minutes, all right? Not a huge commitment. But obviously the more you can do, the better. That gets a point. Anything recovery-based. Now, technically, EHO can fit into recovery, but, like, you know, this is specific recovery. Like, are you doing some contrast therapy, hot, cold, shower, tub? Are you foam rolling or massaging? Are you doing some dedicated mobility work? Like, we actually have in Grillicorn Gains, there is a new monthly recovery program you work. There's a new monthly EHO template you work, building on skills. And then training gets a point. You know, that's a workout, right? And what's so interesting, because I really wanted to focus on the business for this first quarter of the year and kind of correct it and get it going. And I know for us, fitness-wise, it's the biggest quarter of the year, and it's harder to sell. Every month from quarter one gets progressively more difficult to sell fitness until the next year. That's just kind of how fitness is. So that cycle. But we have a fashion line, and that tends to pick up more in spring, summer. So I'll be shifting focus in some ways that way. But training has been the least important thing for me in Q1, whereas the walking, the EHO, and the recovery have been everything to me. And I've been making a lot of progress just by focusing on that, and then I do the training when I can, but I'm not panicking about having to shorten the training or pushing it back or not getting to all of it for the first time in my life, frankly. And I you know, because I know I have to manage the stress. It's all stress to me, and I know the stress of this new medication, the stress of all the business work, everything, right? So what I was trying to impart upon him is, so you get a point. Even if you just walked that day, you get a point. If you did walking and EHO, that's 2 points. You did all four of them, that's 4 points. That's an amazing day, right? There's an acceptable day is 1 point. A good day is 2 points. A great day is 3 points. I guess a perfect day would be all 4 points. But you got to start looking at things not in an all or nothing, but here's how we can consistently get things moving in the right direction. Just try to get a point every day. And that seemed to help him. So I pass it along to you. That's one benefit of my online distance coaching clients. We get to, you know, we FaceTime and we text, email, and I get to really learn a lot more about their struggles more than I can from people that are just, you know, commenting within the Vimeo app for our Express programs or even Gorillacorn Gains. So I'm actually really starting to tap into the struggles that, you know, because these are my distance coaching clients are people just like you. You know, I've got people 35 to 55, so to speak. Many are entrepreneurs. Many have new families. You know, they're battling how to maintain the fountain of youth while taking on all these adult responsibilities in a very challenging time. So it's helped me a lot to reconnect with people. And, you know, so, and I feel like it's going to help me moving forward and making content that really resonates more with my audience. So I thank all my online distance coaching clients for that. And I wanted to pass upon just this point system. So you know that if you walked and you EHO'd and you did a little bit of recovery, I mean, that's actually like, and we're not even talking about training. That's a really successful, that's a great day. That's a great day for your health and longevity. So I hope you take that mindset and moving on to Q2. Meditation two, and I call it a meditation because it's stuff I've been reflecting on, whether it be in a deep thought meditation or just on my walks or just it kind of comes to me. So I like to write these down and I just like to share the insights with you guys because you're important to me. And I hope, you know, if anything, I can share stuff that has worked for me that can work for you. Number two, I'm not as big a fan of the Bulgarian split squat as I used to be. Part of it was because I had some distance coaching clients send me videos of them doing it. And it kind of across the board, I saw that people were using too high of an elevation for the back leg. And they were shifting too much weight to the back leg. And then also part of it too is the back leg becomes almost kind of, the back foot in particular becomes kind of dead. Because the top of the foot is resting on it. There's no toes dug in or toe engagement. And this year is so important. You know, I've got the walking program, walk, run, sprint program, year-long program for Gorillacorn Gains. And by the way, you can sign up for Q2 Gorillacorn Gains over the next week. If you're looking to, maybe Express wasn't enough for you and you want to bump up, or you just are going a quarter at a time, you do have to sign up for the next quarter if you didn't do the annual on that. So you can go to the dailybj.com to do that, or check your emails because I messaged you about where to sign up for Q2 Gorillacorn Gains. I'll even drop it in the show notes for this episode. But because of the focus on gait this year, I'm recommending more rear foot elevated split squat to people. It's a similar concept. You're elevating the back leg, but it's a lower elevation. You know, you can start with just like a 3 to 6 inch, 45 pound plate or an aerobic step, and you get the back toes dug into that box or plate or whatever you're using to elevate. And we're just going to get more foot strength, mobility, toe engagement, and that's going to help us more with our gait work, our running work. And it's also, again, you're not going to encounter some of these issues with the elevation for the back leg being too high. So that's a quick one on a movement that, you know, it's one of those things where when you start seeing people do it, and this is the benefit of getting more direct coaching with people, after I saw it being performed, I realized, oh, this is probably not the best online training recommendation. Obviously, if I was in person, we could perfectly set up the height for that, but it looks like it's not easy to find the proper height. I actually, the single leg squat stand I bought initially from Titan that I use for that movement, I have it on the lowest step and it's barely the right height. And I'm 6'2 and I've got longer femurs. So for someone who's like 4 inches shorter and normal leg length, I mean, that even the bottom setting would be too high. So just something I wanted to pass along. Don't want you to panic about it, but I'm giving you a movement that's easier to get into that I think that has better transferability to what we're working on this year. Number three, this concept that has really come to me lately of loaded mobility versus strength training. And you think about what comes to your head when I say that, loaded mobility. Well, when people think strength training, it's like, okay, how heavy can I lift? How big of a load can I push? not just absolutely, but compared to the last time I trained. When I say loaded mobility, that all of a sudden it's like, oh, this just, to me, that means how can I do this flawlessly, right? It's not easy, but I'm picking a load or a weight or a variation of a movement that just allows for perfect execution. And I'm even okay with using it, that same load, variation, weight, whatever, for an entire month of training or longer. And I'm just going to execute it more effortlessly and perfectly every time I do it. You know, the example I'll give, we were doing singles of pull-ups and dips in the third month of Q1 for Gorilla Core and Gains as a starter. Some, you know, we start with some strength work and then we move into some more metabolic conditioning. And I could go heavier on each of these. I just used a 45-pound plate for the chins, the chin-ups, and then a 100-pound dumbbell for the dips. And I could definitely go heavier, but I was just trying to milk the load and then make the form so perfect and controlled. And, you know, those are gains. You know, this is something that it doesn't make sense to a lot of people because all we know is, oh, progressive overload and go heavier and heavier over time. But especially as you get older, you know, you don't necessarily need to bump those weights up, you know, all the time. And especially not from session to session, even from week to week. Be okay with taking a load, whether it be your body weight or additional external load, and just milk it for everything it's worth. And film yourself. Film yourself. One of the biggest reasons I've gotten better at training so much over the years is I'm constantly filming myself, whether it be for content for you guys. But I'm always seeing how I'm doing things, and there's always room for improvement. And the answer typically is not to go heavier. You know what I'm saying? Like, use a loaded mobility mindset. Okay? And then you'll know when you need to bump the weight up because it becomes so effortless that, okay, now it makes sense to progress it. But especially because a lot of you don't have the ability to precisely load yourself for movements like dips or pull-ups when you go weighted or even dumbbells, it's, you know, you're going to have more of these jumps. So because of that, you have to spend a lot, you got to be willing to spend a lot of time at every step. And that's okay because it's just going to be better for your body and it's going to be better for your joints. It gives your joints take much longer to accommodate to training and to respond than your muscles do. So yeah, your muscles can go at a faster rate, and that's where people can get into trouble, especially when they take drugs, but performance-enhancing drugs, because it accelerates that rate, but it doesn't for the joints. The muscles go even more adaptation, and that's where, like, okay, so now there's some huge imbalances between, you know, your muscles, which are, you know, they create the force of those levers, those bones, and those joints are not able to handle those intersections, those of the joints. They can't support the muscular force because they don't respond as quick. So I share that with you, and loaded mobility is a new concept that I'm trying to really push out there, and you're the first to hear about it. Number four, EHO is everything. Man, that's been like the walking has been crucial. Like, and walking has become something I absolutely love, but the EHO has been, it's truly a lifestyle. I think I want to write a book called The EHO Lifestyle. I might even consider just starting more of like a manual kind of picture book, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing, if the book Fuck the Gym makes sense for this year. A lot of people are going back to gyms. So timing is everything with stuff like this. And I think I also might need to start smaller and go more of shorter training manuals or more picture style books to get the writing muscles going again. I don't know. We'll see. But I think it's the most powerful thing I've shared in a long time. And I'm not sure if it's really resonated with I know it's resonated with the members of the dailybj.com people on social media. I don't think they get it. So maybe I need to do a better job of communicating it and just really beating people over the head with a stick and just, you know, constantly drilling it. Because that has been the most important thing I've adapted this past year or two. Like, it really picked up during the pandemic, and I made so many changes in my body, not through training. It's really just been through just moving and practicing movement throughout the day has been a total game changer. And again, less stiffness and soreness, higher frequency of skill work, meaning you can actually improve faster, but you're not impairing your body's recovery ability as much. And on days I couldn't get to the training, I was almost always, I always did the walking and the EHO, and I always did at least some recovery, some days more than others. But so I was consistently getting 3 of the 4 points. And that was really more than enough to push my body in the right direction and also handle the additional stress of all the work of Q1. So, man, I if you haven't really bought into it, it is a lifestyle, and I think it's an absolute game changer. And it's the real way, because what really happens as you get older is just you get so stiff, and you get stiff and sore. You just do it. The stiffness in particular really hits you. So you've just got to get in the habit of every hour on the hour doing at least a minute of dedicated movement, whether it be the hang or a plank or working on your one-legged hip hinge or doing some foam rolling for your quads if you have knee pain, whatever it is. And again, we have specific EHO protocols in Gorilla Corn Gains for those looking for that. But I'm going to start sharing more EHO stuff on social media. So if you're asking what is good to use for your social media, pay attention to the EHO stuff. Start working that into your day. It's powerful stuff. I'm telling you right now, like it's literally changed my life and my body. And it's something I know I can continue to do and want to do because it makes me feel better. I get energy from it, and I always feel better when I'm done. And a lot of it has built-in breath work to it. So if you haven't been bitten by the EHO bug yet, please try to make it more of a focus in Q2. Number 5, walking is no joke. You know, we have a dedicated walking program for Q1. It's going to shift to more of a walk run in Q2. But we introduced like a whole new way to look at walking, not just like how long you do it or how many miles you do. We built up to like a 3-mile average that we're going to try to maintain in some ways moving forward. But again, if you weren't able to consistently stick with that 3-mile average, or is more, you know, 2 miles, well, then use that for Q2. Because Q1's about figuring out what you can do for the rest of the year, right? You figure out, you know, that's peak motivation, peak whatever. So now what can you consider, what were you able to commit to? Now try to commit to that moving forward in Q2. So if it's 2 miles, I mean, I prefer it to be closer to 3, but even if it's 1, but you can be consistent with that, great. I don't know what your schedule's like, and more I'm finding that, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt. If they say they're busy and all the time, maybe it's the case. I worked with one individual this year in distance coaching, and he literally could not find the time to do the 3 20-minute workouts a week. And we just tried to get at least 1 in, and then we tried to get 2. And then we were able to finally, towards the end of that quarter, get 3 of the 3 in each week. And that was major success to me. Maybe the results weren't as much as he had hoped for, because again, we weren't getting that consistent full training volume the whole quarter, but that's great progress, right? So you got to start looking at things, not in terms of what others are doing. What can you do? What were you able to commit to? And how can you slowly build upon that moving forward? But, you know, whether it be speed walking, power walking, multidirectional walking, backward walking, that's great for, really good for the overall health of your knees and, training, you know, different muscles than what you do going forward. It's almost like the ultimate recovery exercise. Been popularized a lot recently by a training expert named Ben Patrick, or the knees over toes guy. I'll talk more about that him actually later in the episode. But, you know, and then we did some brief like micro jogging to kind of introduce us into more of the running pattern, bounce walking. I mean, it's been great. The breathing protocols for it. But if you just have approached walking in the past as, oh, just something, you know, there's one way to do it, and I just go out and do it, and it's all about how long or how long you go for, or the distance, whatever. There's a lot more to walking than that. And I hope those that have been in Gorilla Corn Gains, like, it's really made you appreciate or want to dig deeper into walking. And walking, again, is one of those things that I hope you commit to trying to do for the rest of your life. Because if you do, and you can, you're going to have a really high quality of life. Much more so than being able to bench press for the rest of your life. It's just fundamental. Like, walking is in our DNA. And digging deeper with it and doing different styles of walking and challenging yourself to making... Because walking, well, it's no joke. Like, when you do it with some of the intensity of a speed or power walk, you play around with inclinations. Man, like, it was challenging. Like, especially, like, taking into the training we were doing, and then the EHO, there's a lot of movement, but there's nothing better for your recovery, your health, physical and mental, and it's so sustainable. So That was one big takeaway for Q1, and walking is no joke. And we'll be very mindful about how we phase into some running. The walking will continue in Q2. We'll just start to incorporate a little bit more run. But that walking foundation was so important. Thanks for those that committed to it. If you didn't commit to it enough, try to make it more of a focus in Q2. Number six, the concept of practice versus training. This kind of goes into the EHO concept, but you know, training means like, okay, I'm going to do X, Y, Z for 30, 45, 60 minutes. And typically it might be heavily structured and I might have some periodization progression into it, ideally for best results. Practice is, you know, the best example is you go out and you shoot hoops or you practice your free throws, right? Or you practice your golf shot or your putting. You know, you're not trying to get fatigued. In fact, you're just trying to put yourself in situations where you can be calm and focused and improve the skill. And, you know, instead of burning out on a movement, if we take it to the fitness side of things, you want to get better at the hang. Everything is sub-maximal, meaning if I can hang for 2+ minutes, I'm probably going to be more, I'm going to be practicing more for about a minute, or I'll be practicing for 2 minutes, but using a lot of self-assistance from my feet or my legs, right? You're trying to find a way to spend time in a position or a shape, move around in it, explore in it, and just really hone your technique and master the movement while avoiding fatigue. A lot of times in training, you are in some cases chasing fatigue or learning how to handle performing in a state of fatigue. And that's good. That has its benefits. But in terms of lifestyle and overall health wellness, you don't need training. I know that blows your mind. I can't believe it. You might not believe you're hearing this from me, but you don't need training. You need to just practice movements. You need to move frequently. So, you know, that's especially important as you've gotten older. A lot of us, by the time you hit midlife, and again, my wife the other day was like, we're not midlife because, you know, that's like people in their 50s. Well, life expectancy is like 76. So, like, I hate to break it to you, but we're in the middle of the average life on this planet. So doesn't mean you have to start acting old, quote unquote old, whatever that is. But it's just being understanding of your real age. And by the way, you know, I still feel great. I don't feel like I might be on the wrong side of 30, but I can still do a lot. I'm actually, because of my new shift to more walking, EHO recovery, managing stress better, you know, I'm able to now, I'm tapping into different ranges of motion in my joints, particularly my knee and my ankle and my hip that I've never been able to tap into. That's going to unlock a whole bunch of physical potential. All the gains I've made in my breath work are going to allow me to do things I've never done before with my boxing, with the running piece. I may not be able to go maximum effort on a daily basis, but you know, I couldn't even do that when I was younger. So a lot of this is about mindset. And, you know, at this point, if you've been training regularly for a decade or more, you've done a lot of strength training. So, you know, those reps are in there. What haven't you done a lot of? Well, a lot of breath work? Well, that you better get on that because that can change everything. That's the most important thing to work on. You know, if you're not doing enough conditioning or walking, that's gonna consistent walking, it definitely helps you burn more fat if you're doing a combination of the walking and the other pieces, but it at least slows down weight gain. You know, what typically happens to people, you know, let's say you reach your physical prime 27, 28, and then every year after that, you're losing a pound or two of muscle. And then finally you turn 40 and you're down like 15 to 20 pounds of muscle. And now your metabolism is, your resting metabolic rate is much lower, which means the number of calories you burn just to exist is way lower than it used to be. And that's what leads to the accumulation of fat. I've seen it. There's people, people that I talk to in my neighborhood, landscapers, you know, and they ask me questions and we talk all the time. And it's like they're active all day. They're active all day out in the sun. And one individual, he keeps gaining weight. And the only way he can offset that is by going into really dedicated training and dieting. But how does he find the energy for it when he's out in the sun landscaping all day? And again, a lot of what happened there in this particular instance, gentleman I'm thinking about, great guy. He didn't do much of any resistance training for about a decade plus and lost the muscle mass and lost his metabolism. So even though he's super active all the time, like, I'm not saying you can't not do resistance training. It's very important. But as long as you're doing a little bit of it, you don't need as much as I think people have previously prescribed. Because again, it is so stressful, again, especially as you get older, and it's hard to recover from. So when you see walking and EHO are actually, they feed recovery, it takes a bigger priority if you are on the wrong side of 30. But starting to think of things, training is great, get the training sessions in when you can, but like, try to practice more. Try to have a more of a practice mindset with your movements. You're going to get really good at them, and they're going to feel much better when you train, and because you're doing them more frequently, you'll get less sore from them. Number 7, accounting for multiple stressors. So this is, you know, I almost got caught into this trap at the beginning of Q1 where it's like, initially I didn't take into effect the stress of taking prescription medication and how that was going to affect me. So that was a miscalculation on my part. And I got into a point where I was getting really overwhelmed from the stress of, you know, online distance coaching, a Gorilla Core and Gains program, an Express membership, our fashion line, trying to be consistent in marketing for all the social media platforms, getting into my own training, my own EHO, my own walking, my own recovery, spending enough time with my wife and our dog. I mean, and again, like, that's just a lot of stress. It's a lot of things to do. And dealing with not having a kitchen in the house, making meal prep sometimes impossible, but finding a way to make that work, other construction going on in the house, stuff like that. So it's just, there's a lot of chaos. And so when I was like, you know, be okay with saying, I'm going to put training, not in the back burner, but it's not going to be the highest priority. And if I have to come in some training sessions, low energy, because I focus on getting my main work done, because that was most important. Business was number one for us personally for Q1. And training was pretty low. I actually prioritized diet more over training because I just knew I wasn't going to have a lot of energy, especially with the adjusting to the medication. Just, it really just stole my energy, especially when I was just taking the first one. So Be aware of it. Be aware of the stressors. It's all stress. And stress can be good when it's properly dosed and when it's mixed with the appropriate amount of other stressors. And I really prioritize sleep more than ever. Like, I'm at the point now where, like, if I'm not in bed by 9, I'm not going to be the best I can be the next day. So it means less entertainment. And I have to be okay with that because, you know, sleep is going to help me stay young or slow the aging process. And I'll just, you know, I got to take more priority on sleep. I do have to now, I think at this point of my life, I'm just going to have to be overall just much better with the diet side. You know, much cleaner, leaner, cheating, less of it. Still have flexibility, but, you know, because I don't want to do as much training anymore as I used to allow me to have so much flexibility in my diet. I'm okay with less flexibility if it means less of the stressful training so I can do more of the recovery stuff, the walking, the EHO. So again, you start looking at things and I don't want to have to take on the amount of training stress required to eat the way I used to. So I'd rather dial down the training stress a bit and just tighten up my diet. And these are just things you start to look at. Your priorities change not only from quarter to quarter, but as you age as a trainee. So you get smarter, you sharpen the sword, etc. But you got to be cognizant of all these stressors and you got to write them down and you got to prioritize as best you can on a number scale, which stress are you willing to take more of and which, because of it's a priority that I have to undergo this stress. And then ones that aren't as important, can you eliminate them? Can you alleviate them? You know, or at least consider if they're going to be there, put less pressure on yourself on the other stressors because it's all stress. Okay. Number 8, flexible eating and training. You know, this is not only the only way to make this a lifestyle, you know, because and we one thing we did in Q1 is, at least for the Gorilla Corns, I gave you a 4-3 split in month 1. where you could have 4 days of focus eating, meaning you were pretty dialed in, almost perfect, and then 3 days of flexible eating. Doesn't mean eat like shit. It means eat focused, and then you can add in some additional stuff in moderation. And then there was a progression to it. And month two, it was a 5-2, five focused, two flexible. And then in month three, six focused, one flexible. And if you really took that seriously, you should have made some real changes in the way your body looked and felt as you slowly weaned off that flexibility and became more focused. But if you started the year at 6-1, you might have gotten a lot of results out the gate, but by the time Q2 would be over, you would literally be burnt. And the whole year would, you basically would have been like that Roman candle, all burnt out, bright light to start the year, but then you have nothing left to run the rest of the race. And there's three quarters left, right? So it's, some of you might say, oh, he's lost his touch. He's not, you know, he's not giving things that are as effective. No, what you're missing is I know what to give you if you wanted to get shredded as fast as possible. I've demonstrated that many times over the years, but I don't care about that. I'm not trying to impress you is what I'm trying to say. I want to help you. I want this to be something you can do for a long time, if not forever. So, and when I released the post-holiday shred too, that was basically the similar concept, but we did it over 3 weeks. You know, where I gave you 4-3 in week one, 5-2 in week two, and then 6-1 in week three. I let you choose between a typical three square meals a day diet with a mid-afternoon or evening snack that's 200 calories whenever you want it, optional. And then the other one was like the classic, modified fasting plan, which means you can have one or two larger meals a day, and you push that first meal as far back into the day as possible. Really simple approach. And, maybe people didn't get as fast of results as they would have expected, but they have a flexible eating system they can continue with, because perfection, and by the way, they didn't have to use the flexibility. That's up to you. If you're really motivated, you could have just gone on that plan and rode it the whole way. Simple bland food diet, good quality, simple, a few ingredient meals that are simple to make, highly effective plan. We got a handful of people that got excellent results from it. But it was a product too. So a lot of people don't communicate and let you know how they did, but, it was the most non-aggressive plan I put out, but it was also the most completable. You know, I mean, this was a plan that anyone I believe could do because of how slowly I worked in the nutritional stress. So you start 6-1 for some people that are like, they don't think about what they put in their face and their mouth, whether eat or drink at all. Like, it's not even a concept to them. So it's a game changer when you start approaching things focused versus flexible. And then you decide, like, look, I could look much better if I went 6-1 most of the time, but 4-3 or 5-2 is just more practical for me. So I'm okay with a little extra body fat because I'm a happier person and people around me like to be with me more. You know, so these are decisions you start to make. And the same thing with your training too. If you might find like only two workouts a week are what works for me, even if there's three on paper, you've got to start to make decisions for yourself what is best for you. Or you're going to get in, instead of three workouts every 7 days, it's three workouts every 10 days. And it means you don't actually have a week of recovery. It just means that you're spacing the workouts more throughout the month, where you never really need to take a recovery week because you have more recovery between every session. That's flexibility. So we'll touch more on the flexibility training part with number 13 as well. Number nine, it's just a workout. You know, I say this not just from your standpoint, your mentality when you start one of these sessions, because look, you're not going to like all of the workouts, or you're going to like some workouts more than others. You're going to hate some workouts more than others, whether you want to go positive or negative with it, but it's just a fucking workout. And I know that I made a big mistake over the last 2 years of putting too much effort into every single workout I programmed, because it is just a workout. You guys don't need that. You need my effort in other things, more in coaching, motivation, more on the diet side of things. You know, I can't wait to get this fucking kitchen done. It's been 5 months without one, man. I'll never take it for granted again in my life. But I had hopes of really getting into two areas I really want to work on in my house are the the kitchen when it's done. I want to spend a lot of time in there really learning and diving into meal prep, because I know it can help you guys and gals a lot. But it's going to take me some time, and I just can't wait to get in there and put in the reps. But also the garage. I've been without a garage gym. It's been tough because I have to do all my training outside, and it's in the desert, and the sun takes its toll. But I also believe it's a space that if you can carve out a space to train and move, meditate, self-care, these are the spaces in the house that I think can have the most impact in your health and wellness. It's the kitchen and the garage. So these are two areas I really want to spend a lot of time in. But again, the workout is just a workout. So don't put too much into like, oh, the workout was it fun, whatever. I hope it's fun. They're always fast, fun, and effective. Consider the fact that you might like to see more of some stuff, but this isn't, if it's that program, it's not personal training. I have to take into account all the members we have, and I try to give the most complete total fitness experience, and it's a collective every month as well. Like, you might not, if you're an Express member, you get 6 new ones, you rotate bi-weekly every month. You might not like one of them or two of them, but you know, hopefully you like at least 3 of the 6. And in that case, it's a highly successful month in my opinion, because again, we're not working together one-on-one, and it's just a 20-minute workout. Don't put too much into any single workout. Just get it done. You get paid for done. Number 10, stay ahead of the recovery curve. This kind of goes into that previously mentioned flexible training. Like, you know, if you find, and this also goes into the whole thing. We answered this many times on live streams at thedailybj.com about people thinking that, or having more energy or time and doubling up on a 20-minute workout and making it 40. Well, that's a perfect example of not staying ahead of the recovery curve. You don't need to feel, and maybe I've done a bad job of saying this, or you know, constantly empty the tank or give it all you've got. I don't want that mindset anymore. I want you to, like, once you feel like you've gotten a good amount of blood flow, you've gotten a good pump into your muscles, they've been activated, your joints feel good, you've taken your body through a good cardiometabolic experience, you've won. You've won the day. You don't need to hammer yourself into the ground. That is putting yourself behind the recovery curve. Yes, you might be able to do it today, but doing that consistently for a couple weeks, by the end of the month, you're going to feel like shit. And then your workouts will start to suffer. So less is more, especially when less is done correctly, you know, and you are, you know, you're pushing yourself in the time available. But sometimes you might have to shorten a workout, or you might have to push it back a day. And part of what the schedules I create for you guys are, you have the ability to do that. You know, you want to try to avoid doing full body workouts back to back. But, you know, if you have to occasionally do it, here's an example. One individual I worked with distance coaching, he basically found that he was in a situation where he had to say, okay, I'm going to try to do one 20-minute workout in the middle of the day, kind of lunchtime at work on Wednesday, and then I'm going to do one workout on Saturday, one workout on Sunday when he's not working and he has more time to focus and do it at home. Not the perfect split, but one that he could sustainably commit to. Not going to be easy to do it, but it would be better to have a day of rest between those weekend workouts, but at least you're getting it in. And it's about, you know, again, I say this many times, effective versus optimal. Optimal is awesome. We don't live in an ideal world. Effective is more than enough. So, but be okay with finishing a workout and just feeling good. Feeling good and feeling like you maybe have a little more in the tank is a better response than feeling wasted. I don't want you to feel wasted after my workouts. That's not my goal. And again, don't get me wrong, the intensity, if you're going to do shorter 20-minute workouts, the intensity is important, but I still want you to feel like you have enough energy to tackle your day and you're not burying yourself into the ground and you're staying ahead of the recovery curve. It's very important to me. And if you have to choose between walking and EHO and recovery versus training on a given day, I'm serious. I'd rather you do the former 3 than the latter 1. You get more points that way. All right. Number 11, support and accountability. It helps to have someone to talk to. Shout out to one of my online distance coaching clients, Mark. You know, when we were chatting, we had a lot of honest conversations. has shared an email about, you know, the guilt he was starting to feel when he walked by the barbell or the power rack in his gym. And I gave him a barbell program for Q1 that he could incorporate into the Gorilla Core and Gains style of training. He worked some weights up. I mean, made some really good improvements. And then I asked him a simple question. Did you enjoy it? And he's like, not really. It's okay to not do some of the things you used to do. Now, just because you did them when you were young doesn't mean that you have to continue to do them today, especially if you don't enjoy them. And we talked, and basically we decided, like, you know, we might have to start like overhauling that garage and make it more conducive to what you want to do today, because as you get older, you have to do, it's harder and harder to do things you don't want to do as you get older. So why make your training or the tools you use more painful, cumbersome, challenging than they have to be? More stressful than they have to be. Also, he decided too, it wasn't serving his kids or his wife as much. Maybe you can get some more things into the garage that cater to the whole family. A sled, a heavy bag, you know? But, you know, he had no one to talk to about this stuff, and that's where he found to be the biggest benefit in the distance coaching, because no one gives a shit about your workout, right? Like, sometimes I start talking to my wife about it, and I can literally tell, like, she's going to a different place because she doesn't give a shit. And how could I blame her? Because who cares about your workout? But you know what? Your coach does. People, like-minded members of the community that I hope you are. That's why those post-workout reports are important. And by the way, like, the Gorilla Core and Gains members do a great job of supporting each other and getting in. And our Express members, you know, a couple will support each other or jump in and say, nice job, or I struggle with that too. And a lot of it is a function of the fact that it's an Express membership. People are so, some people literally just have the 20 minutes to do the workout and they don't have the time to make the post-workout report or interact with members. But I do want you to know that you're missing out on some people that could use that support and accountability. And I know you could too. There will come a time when you might need it. It helps to have someone to talk to. So just, you know, it's no pressure, but try to use the comment section more for yourself and for other people working alongside you. And if you need someone to talk to and help you get through this stuff and you can afford it, online distance coaching can really help you with that. You know, sending me videos of your movements so I can help you improve upon them or give you an alternate if it's not working out, or just, you know, that's highly valuable. I wish I would have had that when I was the last couple of decades, like a seasoned coach to help assess my movements for me. You know, it's good stuff. Number 12, self-care. It's important to carve out time for yourself. You know, this is where you do have to get other people in your life on board and explain to them, yeah, this might seem like I'm like working out right now and having fun, where now you're and if it's not important to you, you're doing something else, you're doing more work, or it seems like I'm being selfish now, but sometimes you got to be selfish to be selfless. I've said this many times in the past. If you're not going to be, if something makes you your best self, that is going to help all the people around you in your life, coworkers, friends, family. You know, it's like preaching to the choir sometimes, or it's like cheesy, but you've got to carve out the time for the self-care, and the self-care gets more important with the aging process because you don't recover as naturally as you used to, and you have to do actual, like, that's what recovery is. Recovery work is stuff you have to do to try to recover like you used to. It's just the burden we take on with age. And you just got to be accepting of that, and you got to buy into that. But it's tough. It's tough to get people in your life to buy into it, especially if they don't do it themselves, or it's not important to them, or they don't need it as much as you do. But have honest conversations with people, and there's some things you have to be ruthless about, and whatever time you can carve out for self-care and you can commit to, you got to ruthlessly defend that. Because if that's taken away from you, man, life is going to start to suck, and you are going to get worse, and things might get done, but it's going to be getting done in a state of just stress and unhappiness, and that's not good. Number 13, the plan B or the alternative workout. I'll make this one kind of quick because I hesitate to even bring it up because I know I'm going to get questions on this, but sometimes I look what's on paper and I'm like, you know what? I just want to do 20 minutes of step-ups. And to me, that's like if it's a lower body workout and I see all these things that I have to do and I'm like, you know what? I just want to do step-ups or lunges for 20 minutes, or I'm going to sled for 20 minutes. Or, you know, one of my favorite workouts recently that I do on just a day where I'm like, you know what? I got an hour to train. I'm going to do 20 minutes of sled. I'm going to do 20 minutes of boxing. I'm going to do 20 minutes in the pool. Not necessarily swimming, but like exercises in the pool. Treading water, using some resisted training devices that I have for pool work, working on my gait, leg cycling off the edge of the pool to kind of work my running pattern, whatever it is. But like, it's an amazing workout. It's an open workout. Call it the plan B or the alternative workout, which is number 13. That's what I'm trying to say here is like some on some days you're not going to want to do what's on paper. And it's not a reflection of what's on paper. Some of the best design programs you're going to come to and just like, ah, man, I don't want to do this today. And this is where it does require a little more knowledge on your part. But what's wrong with just saying I'm going to do sled for 20 minutes? Now, the 20 minutes of sled could be just backward dragging. And I've done that for 20 straight minutes. Or I could be going between backward and forward, or backward, forward, and lateral, or backward, forward, lateral, and adding some marching in. Like, same thing with the boxing. The boxing can be just like randomly punch and do footwork for 20 minutes, or work on one single thing like your jab or a hook to the body for 20 minutes. Like, it becomes a free flow and it's just moving for X amount of time. At the end of the day, maybe you might have gotten, maybe the structured approach is better, but sometimes that freestyle approach allows you to have a little fun, unwind more, and you're still moving for time, the same amount of time. So I encourage you on those days, go in with have a plan B or alternative workout in place. Start to learn that for yourself. Again, part of what I hope to do with this is all my programs, I hope they are physical education and culture for you. You're learning about ways to regress and progress movements. You should have enough movements in your database where you can say, oh, I've got 20 minutes. I'm going to pick a handful of movements that work my whole body and I'm just going to go and not worry about it. Or I'm going to pick a single movement. I'm just going to focus on that, like lunges or step ups or crawling, or it's walking, whatever it is. But obviously that tip matters more to like my Gorilla Corn Gains members will be able to apply that more than my Express members because they have more education about this than our Express. They're willing to invest more time into it, not just this past quarter, but they have been like our superstar members for several plus years now. Coming on like the 5-year anniversary of it actually, since I left Men's Health and started the dailybj.com in June or end of May. So you have 5 years of experience under your belt in some cases. So yes, I put on paper what I hope you do, but it's also okay. And that's also flexible training, say this plan B or alternative workout. Maybe you want to try something I shared on social media, or you want to go back to something, or you're trying to learn something new, or I don't know. And I'm not trying to confuse you with this, but I'm also at least opening up the conversation for it. And again, a lot of these individual points could be podcasts in and of themselves. Number 14, my top two anti-aging exercises, boxing and the sled. The sled is so important because your legs can only be as strong as your feet. A lot of us get no direct footwork beyond just walking or running. And what the sled does, the sled is just loaded gait work. It's loaded gait training. And consider this multiplier too. If some of you are unable to on some days, if you're unable to do an hour walk, so to speak, I think the sled, depending on how hard you push it, has like a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 multiplier, meaning, you know, 20 to 30 minutes of sled is equivalent to 1 hour of walking. You know, so understand that. And if you wanted to start incorporating the sled, it's getting warmer. I've shared on YouTube and on Instagram some sled content using this internal resistance, magnetic resistance sled. It's about a little under $1,000, but it's already an investment that's paid for itself. My wife even uses it sometimes. She doesn't like doing much of anything exercise-wise, but she doesn't mind doing the sled. We do it right in front of our house. It's quiet and it doesn't need weight because it's all internal resistance and you can adjust the resistance too. But there's a lot of also other sleds that are like only a couple $100 if you have a turf, or you can do it on grass or an area where you can make a little bit of noise. But to me, it's like the perfect exercise because not a lot of eccentric stress, easy to recover from. You can sled daily if you wanted to. I've been almost doing it daily lately because it's important to what I'm working on this year. And to the other point, boxing, man, boxing is just like, it's so good to get in shape, to stay lean, to work your fast twitch fibers, to maintain your rhythm and coordination or build your rhythm and coordination. If you're looking for like a simple way to be fit, alternate between boxing and sliding every day. Simple way to be fit for life and then walk and do some recovery and EHO. What a simple way to train and endless options in all of them, by the way. I'll try to do more sled education. And obviously our Grillicorn Gains members, they get dedicated boxing workouts every month as well. They can do on the quote unquote off days because it feeds recovery and it helps you with conditioning and leaning out, especially as we go to a Q2 is more of a shred focus in Grillicorn Gains. But those are my top two. And I guess the third one would be just water therapy. Whether it's cold or hot, just getting in water. You can do anything that anything you struggle with on land, you can do in water without the risk of injury. And it's like the instant regression, but also you get compression, which is great for dealing with inflammation, great for recovery. So that would be, I guess, top three would be boxing, sled, and then pool or water. 15, my knees still need some more work. You know, recently I took a fast from any consuming any fitness content for a couple of years. Part of it was I was annoyed by it. It was putting me in a bad mindset. And my mindset was also not going to be getting me more competitive or maybe even envy, like seeing people that are doing better than me on social, whatever else. As much as it pains me to say that was the case, it's true. Kind of found myself becoming kind of this grumpy, small-minded trainer in his late 30s that I never wanted to be. But I had seen like this guy, like the knees over toes guy or the ass to grass guy, Ben Patrick, I mentioned earlier. I just read two of his books, ATG for Life and Knee Ability Zero. They're both like $20 books on Amazon, picture book style. You can read each in an hour or less. And, I'm glad I did because a lot of the movements were not new to me, but he had some subtle nuances or different things that I'm like, oh, this might be good to try. A reminder of things that I maybe didn't spend enough time on, particularly for like developing the VMO, the lower quad muscle that still is problematic for me. Honestly, he reminded me of myself like 10 years ago. Super young, obsessive, enthusiastic. And right before any sort of criticism or cynicism really start to hit when you like, you know, basically who I was before I went to Men's Health and a lot of my joy in this was stolen because I wasn't ready to handle all the criticism that comes with being on a big platform, being exposed to a lot of people, and my fin wasn't thick enough to handle it. So it was good to see someone younger again, like who I used to be. And you know what? I picked up some good stuff from the guy, and I think you could too. That's why I shared it on social media. And I'm excited to really... particularly on my left knee, my quads on my right leg are still lagging a bit. In my left knee, I still have some issues with the patella or kneecap that I'm working on, but I'm seeing improvements as I've incorporated some of this guy's work. And it's gotten me doing some things that I used to do that I haven't done in a while. So if anything, just a reminder on some of the basic movements, but also just his individual approach. It's nice to see someone who really cares about, I truly believe just his energy this guy gives. He really wants to make a change, and he is, man. This guy's exploded. He's like the hottest dude in fitness right now. Over 1 million followers. He had like 5,000 not more than a year or so ago. He's exploded, and he has a unique approach to how he markets. So this might also apply to your field, even if it's not fitness. You know, it's okay to learn from people younger than you, and you, if anything, tap into their energy and try to find that joy, love, and positivity that we have when we first start out, when we love it. And we don't get weathered by, the process of it or other people or just the industry itself. The 16th and final point, we've got less than a minute left. The concept of regress to progress. Sometimes you have to take multiple steps back to take infinite steps forward. And I've particularly done that in quarter one with my lower body because I realize I'm still missing some mobility in the ankle, knee, and hip that... the loading was irrelevant to me, and I went much lighter than I was would go in the past for some of the movements, just because I want to do them perfectly now, and I'm okay with taking the step back because I know it's what my body needs right now. It's so sometimes you got to regress to progress, and regression is not a dirty word. In fact, it's probably the key to progression. So when I show modifications, regressions, please take them to heart. Go to thedailybj.com to sign up for our Q2 services, Gorilla Core Gains, or distance coaching. And I look forward to another great quarter with you coming up.